Looking at a drop of water. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with instant illumination. Looking at a drop of water. What does it mean when we look at a drop of water? What do we see when we look at a drop of water? Do we see water? Do we see the form of a drop? Do we see moisture? What do we see when we look at a drop of water? A drop of water could be an infinite number of things. If we took a microscope and looked at the drop, we would see all sorts of life in the drop of water. We'd see all sorts of minerals and all sorts of gases and all sorts of things in there, because nothing is what would you call a lonely little petunia in the onion patch. Nothing is unto its own self. Everything is a combination of many things, and a drop of water is a combination of many things. A drop of water is hydrogen and oxygen. A drop of water is minerals. A drop of water is dust. A drop of water are microbes and bacteria and all sorts of other things of that nature. And perhaps many, many more things that we don't even know about, but we could even go to the base and say the drop of water to its ultimate beginning is an atom. And it took many atoms to make the drop of water, but the ultimate essence of a drop of water is an atom, and perhaps we can go even further down than that. But why did the atoms create themselves into this drop of water? Why did the atoms decide to become a drop of water? Why didn't they become an eye or a brain? Why didn't they become a stone? Why didn't they become something different, you know? Well, who knows? Because all substance is one. It's hard for us to believe that, because we think of substance existing in so many areas, but all substance is one. And all beingness is one. All time and space are one. And so when we say a drop of water is made up of an atom, or many, many atoms, made up of bacteria, made up of little items, little living items that we haven't classified probably yet, and hydrogen and oxygen and minerals and things like that. And why? Why does it go into that sort of a format for itself? Why is our human body the format that it is? Why is our brain the format that it is? Why is the hippocampus, the various aspects of the brain, the use of the brain so varied and so magical, and the brain has so many parts to it? It has parts of memory, parts of sight, parts of action, parts of all sorts of interesting things. And we don't pay too much attention to them, just like we don't pay attention to the drop of water, just like we don't pay attention to who we are. We are an is, and we are the allness. Now, of what benefit is it to even think of a drop of water? Well, when you think of a drop of water, you let your mind soar into the possibilities of what the drop of water may be. What could the drop of water be? The drop of water could be from a cloud, dropped down from the rain, dropped down from water that had evaporated and recycled itself in the sky and come back down again to earth. Or it might be a drop of water that splashed from the earth at us, or out of the hose, or out of the well, or out of a glass, or out of a million possibilities. A drop of water is not a simple little thing, but we want to say that it is. Now, let's just play a game. If all is one, and all is universal intelligence, and all is divine, then the drop of water is divine. Could you have a conversation with a drop of water? Could you talk to a drop of water and say, "Drop of water, fill me in on this here." Could you talk to a piece of dirt and say, "Dirt, fill me in on this." Plant, to an animal, to another person, all life has the ability to transmit what it's thinking and what it's doing. And all life is thinking, and all inert life is also thinking. It's also thinking how it will conduct itself as itself, how it will think about how it's composed. What does a drop of water think about? That would be an interesting thing to ponder, wouldn't it? What does a drop of water think about? Well, a drop of water thinks about basically itself, as everything thinks basically on itself. So, what do you think about when you think about yourself? Do you think about the noble ideas of what wonderful things you can do? Do you think that you can be an ordinary person and do extraordinary things? Do you think that you can be a boy who has mixed parents, a white and a black parent, and the father is divorced, the mother, and then the mother marries again, and they live in a various... Rex, bring it here, please. Come. And that's the possible president of the United States being elected today. He'd been brought up in a family that had been broken. He'd been brought up in a family that his father was from Kenya and his mother was from Honolulu. And what an interesting comparison of people. And whatever their backgrounds are, whatever their religions were, whatever their activities were. And he did quite well in school and did quite well as a lawyer and became into politics in Illinois and became a senator and became many wonderful things. Well, who would have ever guessed that that's what he would become when you talked to him when he was 10 years old, when he was 15 or 20 years old, when he was in college, when he was going around the world visiting his father's home sites and the people, and visiting all of the world that was interesting to him. And where did he go and what did he do? Well, he was just being himself and having fun. And being himself and having fun, he was interested in what the rest of the world was doing. And he was interested in how the United States could work together with the rest of the world. And then he was confronted with a statement. This drop of water was said, well now, you're black and you're part white. And then he said to the person, he said, well, there are the Democrats and there are the Republicans, but I am a member of the United States. I'm not a Democrat or Republican. I am a member of the United States. I am for what is best for the United States, what is for the highest and best for the United States. That's why I'm in government. That's why I'm there. And everyone listened and heard him and said, my God, what kind of a guy is this, you know? He's not a politician. He's not running into all these things. And so, just like Rex a few moments ago, he picked up my shoe. And he's been very good about picking up my shoe and bringing it to me and saying, let's take a walk and things like that. But the other day, he took one of my sandals and he laid on it and he began to chew on it a little bit. And he chewed to the point where there was nothing left. And so I have to be very careful now to retrain him that you don't even pick them up. You don't touch anything that's not yours. And this is what I've been doing with the campus family, teaching them, you don't touch something that's not yours. And you don't fool with something that's not yours. If it belongs to the campus, it belongs to the university, then it belongs to everybody, of course. But each one of us has responsibility for what we're handling. Now, Rex has a responsibility for his toy box. He has a responsibility for his bones and his toys and his toy box, his ball and string and other things that he has there, rope. But he has to be taught that that is where his toy box is. And if he wants us to play with him, he brings us his toy, not the shoe. And these are just little things. Now, this is what this new president may well be faced with. Am I going to be interested in the United States of America? Or am I going to be interested in going around the world and helping my brother before I help myself. And that perhaps is one of the greatest economic lessons the United States is going to learn under this new regime, that the United States comes first. And we take care of ourselves, we take care of our own. We take care of our own who have poverty. We take care of our own who have need for schools and hospitals and who have need for medication, who have need for medicine and stuff. And we don't run a thing as a profit-making organization. We run our Medicare program as a program of the state, not as a profit-making organization. Because if we try to run it as a profit-making organization, we're going to keep a lot of people away from Medicare who need the help and who can't afford it, but who have just enough to keep them away from having affording it. And so these things all have to be looked into, and they will be looked into. And that's the drop of water that our new president is going to be facing. And tomorrow morning we will find out who is the new president. And we have presumptions of who it's going to be, but Mr. Truman had the same problem when he and Wally were running for the presidency, and they thought surely Truman wouldn't make it. He did, and who knows who's going to make it here, because whoever is best for the United States of America at this point in time, for our economy, for our government, for the people, or it should be the people, the economy, the government, then that person will be in the chair of the president, and we will all say, hooray. So, what kind of drop of water are you? Ever thought about it? You can be as diverse as possible, and you can be as simple as possible. But whoever you are, be as wonderful as you are. Knowing that I love you, I love you, I love you.
I love you.